Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly's back with us today, and she's got some more good things for you. Welcome back, Kelly.
Thank you, Mother.
We're enjoying your wisdom.
Well, I've enjoyed your wisdom for 51 years, so.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, you've been really such a great example to me, and just so full of the Word and so full of the Spirit, the gifts of, just the fruit of the Spirit,
thank
the gifts
you,
of the Spirit. You're just quite a woman.
I did not pay her to say that. But
no, but
I
you can later
it.
If you want to. I mean, I'm just saying.
you
pay me plenty.
She's always willing to receive.
I mean, yes, and you're always giving. So,
thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate
you're
that.
A blessing, Mom. And, you know, watching you walk makes it easier for me to walk.
Praise God.
And this is really, we talked yesterday about Jesus saying, come to me and follow me. It's really, it's easy to see that relationship in a mother-daughter or teacher, student. Mm-hmm. But this is exactly what Jesus wants to do for us.
Amen.
He wants to lead us through
right.
things. But, you know, over the years, Mom, I think back to times when I wouldn't tell you what was going on. You know, all kids, we...
Really?
Yeah, well, I'm sure there was one or two times. But, you know, maybe because of shame, maybe because of embarrassment, maybe because I thought I knew what I was doing and I didn't need your help.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those reasons, the reasons don't matter. The result is the same. I went without your help and probably hit the wall at some point, and then I picked up the phone or went to your room and said, I need help. And that's what Jesus is wanting us to just come to that place on purpose, not because you hit a wall.
Before you hit the wall.
It's good if you can come before you hit the wall, but today if you've hit the wall and you think, man, I've hit the wall so hard my face is smashed up against it and I don't know what to do. Any degree,
that's
now
right.
is
Any
the time to turn to Him.
Time is
you know,
a
He
good
told
time.
Me one time, now is always the best time to turn to Him and do things His way.
Yeah, whatever.
So it's better than tomorrow. Yeah. Whatever is going on today would be better if you turn today than tomorrow.
Because yeah. you He's, can avoid some things tomorrow if you'll turn to Him today.
It's the truth. And He loves us so much.
Oh, yes.
And even going through something with Him guiding you, you know when things happen? Going through something with Him guiding you is you just
That's
at
right.
the other side.
Yeah.
You just want Him in your boat with you,
Amen.
You know. But He won't force His way in any area. You know, you didn't get saved any other way but by inviting Him in.
That's right. Your
but
will.
Your life, being saved is one area. Your spirit is recreated instantly.
Mm-hmm.
But your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, those have to be renewed. And that
by
happens by the Word,
That's
renewing
right.
by the Word. And it all, and
That's
how,
where freedom is.
The Word talks about letting the Word in, letting it right on your heart. And that's a place where you have to open it up. No one will make you, or no one can make you.
That's right.
Open your heart up and let Him talk to you. Let Him write on your heart. Let Him shine the light on things that are in your heart. But I'm telling you, when you do, you just get free.
Amen.
And I have some illustrations of that today. We can kind of have fun today. You want to have
okay.
some fun? One of the things, I thought it'd be good to have some fun on the day you talk about not being judgmental.
Uh-oh. Brace myself.
You know, sometimes the Lord can bring correction through people in your life. And I remember one time I was sitting down with John to talk. My brother John is the CEO here at the ministry. And I don't even think...
And John and Kelly didn't exactly see eye to eye on a lot of things.
Well, you
For
know.
A long time. It was when they were kids.
But you know what? I used to think that being arguing and having a different opinion, that was dysfunctional. But it's really dysfunctional if you can't. If you can't have a different opinion... Somebody either has to think like you or you think like them. That's not freedom. So I know we drove you up the wall and maybe we did argue too much.
Well, you did have your days. That's right.
But
I'm a strong woman.
We certainly could express our opinions. We were free. Y'all raised us to be free.
Amen.
And, but one day he was unhappy with something I'd done. We won't go into that. But
no, let's don't.
But he said to me, "You're the most judgmental person I've ever known." And I'm like, "No, I'm not, me." And I got home, and the Lord goes, or I think I didn't even get home. I think I got in my car, and the Lord goes, I thought, "I'm not judgmental." And the Lord goes, "Yeah, you are." That started a journey for me, just not wanting to be that way, you know, and not, I didn't want to be judgmental.
Well, you didn't realize you were being.
I just want to help.
Sure.
You just want to help you. You need my help.
Yeah, you just need to know what I think.
But you know, you realize that you may want to help, but how it comes across is, mm-hmm. is judgmental. And
can I help it if I'm always right?
No. And so but you know what I've noticed in this last year?
What?
And of course, I've worked at not being judgmental since then, all these years, and I think I've made some progress. But I noticed that the more free you are, the more free you allow others to be.
You know, that's really the truth. That's a good point.
And the more you see God cleaning you out,
yeah.
the more grace you have for however long it takes for Him to clean someone else out. And the more you get like that, the more you walk in love, and the
that's
more you
true.
Actually, God could use you
that's
to
right.
help somebody.
I like that. The more free you are, the what?
The more free you let somebody else be.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's you really need to let God be the one that deals with people where they're at. He was so patient with you. The Word talks about that. It said, don't you know how patient He is with you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, He is so patient. And the more you grow in these things and allow Him in your soul, the more you can see how He just, it's between Him and them. And
well,
you're available.
It falls down to walking in love, doesn't it?
It really does, and letting people
forgive
grow.
If you have aught against any.
Forgive.
And
there's an important place that I've learned about speaking the truth in love. Just because you forgive doesn't mean you can't sit down with somebody, you know, and after praying about it. And just say, you know, what you said was hurtful. Because most of the time, people don't want to hurt you.
That's true.
And if you just say something, and what, no matter what their response is, you're free. If you can't sit down and you're already free, then you might go down the road of strife. But if you're already free and you sit down and talk about things, it's okay. It's okay. Especially when He is the one, when you are so
okay, listen,
cognizant of He's in your presence.
So what does the Scripture say? Be quick to forgive. If you have aught against any.
Right.
Quick to forgive. Quick. That makes you free.
It
somebody
does
you wrong. If I did you wrong today and you just said, well, that's just my mother and she can't help it. I forgive her. What did you do? You
I'm
went free.
Free.
You don't have to think about it again.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. And you know what else?
And on the other hand, we need to be quick to realize when we have done somebody wrong or said wrong or been ugly or to them or in any way, quick to repent, quick to forgive, quick to get things right, ask for forgiveness. You can live in peace. Nobody's perfect.
That's right. And the way
I've been married for 53 years. I'm telling you, you can do this
you
thing.
You can. And the more you've submitted your mind, your will, and your emotions to Him to be an examination of, to be your... to be the one who you're in covenant with, the one who you've said, correct me, He'll go, you know, you shouldn't have said that. And then you just quickly go move on it and you stay in a place of freedom. Now, we talked last week.
And it helps if you realize this. Opposites attract, and then they get married.
And then they go,
so
what
do you expect? I mean, it's going to take some effort here.
Well,
but it's worth the effort. Glory to God.
But the reason they attract is because you have weaknesses and strengths.
Yeah.
And usually those weaknesses and strengths are the opposite. And so what people don't understand or what really I've just begun to understand so fully this year, no, I'm sure I don't understand it fully, but I'm getting it, is that... God can't really anoint you in your strengths until you've allowed Him to anoint you in your weaknesses. Because if you never come to that place of humility where you give Him your weaknesses to anoint and to correct, which often comes in the form of your, you know, a parent or a, your spouse or a friend who's exactly the opposite of you too, you give Him those weaknesses to correct. But when you do, you become so aware of His grace on you. But if you never get to that place, how can He take what you're good at and make it better? You won't think it's Him. You won't recognize it as a grace. You'll go, wow, look at me. I am good at this. And so that, but if you let Him anoint you in your weak areas, He'll anoint you in your strong areas. And sometimes where judgment, being judgmental is concerned, we are strong in an area, so we want to help somebody else. But that strength, not tempered by love and tempered by His grace on your weak areas and your understanding that, man, He's been so good to me, it'll come off as harsh. It doesn't come off as loving, even though you want to help them. So
we're quick to forgive and quick to repent.
Right. And so I have a couple of things
and quick to forgive
that I want to show you today, because I was thinking about that scripture. Let's look at it, and then I'll pull out my fun,
okay,
my fun things. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6. I'll pass it up. And Jesus was teaching on not judging. And He says in verse 37, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive." You know, that can be money, but it can be forgiveness, too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
"Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap." Down in verse 39, it says, "Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch?" So you're trying to help somebody, and the Lord says, you haven't been enlightened yourself yet.
Yeah.
"Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher." So the student who's fully opened their heart up to Jesus to correct them can help someone else. You're in a position to help. But He says, "Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye or a splinter," another version says, "when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, 'Friend, let me help you'" — see, this judgment area is, you want to help. Most of the time people want to help, but they're no help. "Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye. Hypocrite," He says, "first get rid of the log in your eye, then you can see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." Now, this is what one of the things the Lord showed me about this. You know, this idea of the splinter or the speck, but I like the idea of splinter because it compares to a log. This idea of a splinter and a log could sound so much like it was a comparison or a degree, like, my problem is smaller than your problem, so I can help you, right? That's kind of what it sounds. But then in reality, maybe your problem is bigger, or maybe it's not. But it's really not about that. What the Lord was showing me was, it's about perspective. Because if this is the splinter, Mom, and it's in your eye, it looks fairly manageable. It looks pretty small to me. It's in your eyes way over here. So I think, I can get that out. I can help you with that.
Yeah.
And maybe, in fact, your problem — this is not true in real life, but maybe if you were somebody else, your problem might be
thank you
smaller
for that.
Than mine. Okay? I might be in worse shape than you, but you might be in worse shape than me, but still, it's your problem over here, so it looks manageable to me. But my problem is here, and it is right in front of my eyes. I don't even see it, and I can't see around it because it's so close to me. And so how am I going to get that out of you? And I've got this thing blocking my eye when I haven't let Jesus correct in me. So here we are. I have my little bag down here of tricks.
Uh-oh.
Here, let me let me help you with your splinter. You know, let me get to your splinter, and I've got this big pair of pliers, and I can't see anything, and I'm going to operate on you.
That's good. I get it.
You get it? Well, let me make sure you get it. So I have brought a game today, the operation game. Do you remember this?
No.
And this is what we're like. Because if I'm blindfolded and I can't see, but I'm trying to operate on you, it's obnoxious. It makes noise, and that's all anybody can hear. It's all anybody can see, and here I am trying to operate on you.
Yeah.
And it's not helpful. But when the blindfold is gone, you know, and they've actually made these holes bigger than since I was a kid. I could actually do it now. But
when you were little, it was
when
too
Emily,
small.
I'll give this to Emily, I guess. But I can do a little surgery on somebody when I've been cleaned out, and that's what the Lord is saying. Let me work on you, He says, and He says it twice in here. He says, the student who's fully trained will become like the teacher. I can become like Jesus and helpful to people, but at that point, you know, it didn't come across as being judgmental. It just comes across as you're there. And people see in your life that you have some things that they want. And then it says, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck or the splinter in your friend's eye. Did you like that?
Yeah. So, now, Kelly, I have to ask you this.
What?
Were you present the day that that John just got on my last nerve and I jumped over the couch and went after him?
I'm thinking, which day are you referring
to? Well,
I
never jumped over the couch but once.
Well, yes.
But, you know, that was just, I couldn't do that under normal circumstances. But as I said, he got on my last nerve.
Well, sometimes it's
over the couch I went.
It's a miracle that we don't react like that more often. It is Jesus, you know. You know, Romans 2, Mom talks
There's
about.
There's help for all of us.
Romans 2 is a great place to study if you have this problem. And I won't go into it all because there's some other things I want to read to you today. But it talks about judging, and it talks about being critical of others for whatever. There's all the whole list of things people could do. Murder, envy, gossip, everything is in this list. And he says in verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 1, you may think you can condemn such people, but you're just as bad. When you say they're wicked for what they're doing, it says you're condemning yourself because you do the very same thing.
In other words,
and
you know it's wicked and you're doing it.
Well, and
you judge yourself.
That's true. Yeah. And the reason is those things are all lumped together. In this scripture, it says, if you're doing one, it's like you're doing them all. If you're doing this one, you might as well be doing this one. I mean, comparing, if you're gossiping, it's the same as murder as far as what it'll do, you know, doing these things and how you can judge somebody. So, but it says in verse 15, it says, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for it's their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them that they're doing right. So it's in our heart where God can speak to us about what we're doing wrong and what should be corrected.
The inward witness.
The inward witness, if we'll let Him. So what I'm saying here with today's message is the more free you are, the more service you are to Jesus and helping other people get free, and the less judgmental you become. And it's free. It's free to be carefree about what else is. Do you know how much we get bogged down by what other people
Forgive
are doing?
If you have aught against anything against anybody. He's saying that for your sake.
And even gossip, Mom.
It doesn't hurt the other person if you're in unforgiveness, but it opens the door to all kind of bad things in your life.
And it brings stress and sickness. Yeah. And you know, your body doesn't know if it's your stress or your neighbor's stress. If you're all worried about what they're doing
and
how they're living their life, and you're judging them and you're gossiping about them and you're upset about what they're doing, your body doesn't know.
No.
Your soul doesn't even know. And when you condemn somebody in your soul will condemn you later. And so to be free of all that is awesome. I want to read
to
you.
So what would be the solution to everything we talked about?
Be free.
Walk in love.
Walk in love.
Forget. Be quick to forgive, quick to repent.
Let Jesus shine that light on you first. And that's where it's so easy to be free. And Jesus said in Revelation 3, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He wants in our life. That was not written to the sinner. It's used that way sometimes, but it was written to the church. And he wants in. He wants us to open up our life to him.
He knows he's our only answer.
He wants us to open up our heart to him.
Right.
And I want to read this verse to you today. You know, there's just so much that he has for us to do. We can't be bogged down by some of the stuff we've let bog us down because there's more. He has so much to do. So I want to read this verse. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right for him, with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together. You know, you could stop right there and go, well, I have it all together. But you got to read the rest. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. We can have it all together. You can have it all together. You can have your act together with Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God. Remember, I've been talking about all last week that throwing open the doors of your soul, your heart to him and let him in. Let him change things. It says, we throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. He's been waiting. We're finally saying, Lord, I know there's more. I know you have things for me. And he goes, I've been waiting. And then you watch. He will just pour it out on you. He's so gracious. Pour his goodness, not judgment and condemnation, but goodness. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles.
Amen.
Boy, you don't want to go through trouble without him.
No.
Without
no.
having him directing you.
You don't have an answer.
Mm-mm. It says, we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. I've seen such patience in you, Mom.
Thank you
You're
very
so
much,
walking
Kelly.
That. And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue. Mm-hmm. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm. That is good.
Keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. See, he's positioning us for
what he wants to do next.
He
wants to be free to bless.
In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the
Praise
Holy Spirit.
God.
Mom, his grace, his love, his correction, direction is so wonderful.
Oh, yes.
That this excitement is the next step.
Praise God.
When you let him in.
Amen. Kelly and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.